1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brothers and sisters. This is Newcastle Fast FM. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. Alhamdulillah, we're back with the show From Darkness to Light, to show that we've been doing every single Wednesday of the week at 6 p.m. And alhamdulillah, over the weeks, we've been going through a number of different beneficial topics. Inshallah, brothers and sisters, what I want you guys to do is to first comment if you can hear me. Let me know that you can hear me. Let me know there's no audio issues. But what I want you to do is to share this out on the show, on your social media. Let people know about this. And as well, check out the various different videos, different series, different shows that were happening on Newcastle Fast FM. If you go to the YouTube channel, Newcastle Fast FM, you'll see playlists that detail all the different shows by different speakers, different brothers doing different things. And as well, you can see that on the Facebook and on other social media platforms. So check out those other shows. Inshallah, you'll find them beneficial. You'll find things to benefit from Ustad Nasir, Abdul Haq Baker, Abdurrahim Green, Abdurrahim McCarthy, and others. They've been doing different shows, inshallah, on the days, and they've been beneficial. Now, as you can see from the title of this show, the topic of this show, what I really wanted to focus on this week was to take some quick etiquettes and some quick manners that we have with the dua, with the supplication. I always teach, especially new Muslims and those new to religion, that and non-Muslims, to try and understand that in Islam we have two forms of prayer, as you could say. The first form is the form that's quite famous, and that is the formal prayer, in which, you know, you stand 5 times a day, you do certain positions, you recite the Quran, you say different du'as, supplications, you say different athkar, words of remembrance of God, throughout the salah 5 times a day, at certain times throughout the day formally. And that is the formal salah. That's the one that people say, people see in Mecca and Medina. But Islam also has the common prayer, the common supplication that many of us know. If you're Christian, atheist, from any sort of background, you'll know that common supplication, that common prayer, which is the one which you simply speak to God in whatever language that you know. You ask him for things, you praise him, you speak to him. Christians, you know, they put their hands together. Muslims, they raise their hands. Different faiths would do different things, fingers, quietly to themselves, in their brain, in their mind. This is what dua is. This is what supplication is. It's calling out to God and speaking to Allah. Now, the Quran, again and again and again, speaks about dua and the importance of doing supplication. And the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many, many times, he told us the importance of it and the virtue of it. So, inshallah, we're going to take some reading from a book which I mentioned quite a few times on the show. It's called The Book of Manners, published by Dar Salam, and it has a very beneficial chapter in here called The Manners of Supplication. So inshallah, we're going to take some quick benefits, some manners, meaning when you go to make dua, how should you do it? What are some things that we should do? How should our heart be in that situation? And as well, there are different times that are recommended to supplicate. There are different situations a person could be in which is recommended to supplicate. So Allah says in the Quran, and your Lord said, call upon me and I will respond to you. So Allah says in the Quran, call upon me and I will respond to you. And Allah says in the Quran, Is he not better? Is not better he who responds to the distressed one when he calls upon him and who removes the evil? And Allah says in the Quran in the 7th chapter, invoke your Lord with humility and in secret. He likes those that are not the aggressors. And Allah says in the Quran that indeed the masajid, indeed the places of worship are for Allah. So do not associate anyone with Allah in your worship and your dua. So one of the first etiquettes that we need to have with the supplication, with the dua, is to realize that supplication is only for Allah. We don't supplicate to anybody else or any other thing. So you don't ask the prophets and the messengers to help you, to assist you, to intercede for you. This is an error that previous religions did. The Christians and the Jews, what they did is they took prophets and messengers and the righteous people as intercessors between them and Allah. So the Christians, they took Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, peace be upon him, as an intercessor between them and Allah. When they used to pray, they would pray to Jesus, or they would pray to Jesus to ask God to help them. And this is associating partners with Allah. As well, from the Catholics, from amongst the Christians, they took righteous people, they took the angels as intercessors between them and Allah. So they took the saints, different disciples of the prophets, different holy people of the past. They made them to a level, and they took the angels, Archangel Gabriel, Archangel Michael, Saint Michael, Saint, etc. And they ascended them to a level which is not correct. And they used to supplicate to the angels, they used to supplicate to the prophets, they used to supplicate to the righteous people, Paul, as they believe them righteous, Saint Paul and other saints throughout the history of Christianity. And they used to pray to them and ask them. They would even supplicate to Mary, the mother of Jesus. The Quran is against this, and Islam came to put a stop to this. Because that's the beautiful thing about Islam, is that you have a personal relationship with Allah, a personal relationship with the one who created everything and the one who has power over everything. And that's what is unique about Islam, that is truly monotheistic, that its concept of Tawheed, the oneness of Allah, is unique. We only ask Allah, we only pray to Allah, we only sacrifice for Allah, we only do things for the sake of Allah. We don't do it to worship a prophet. We don't do it to worship the companions or righteous people. We only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the first etiquette that every person needs to have. Because if you don't have that etiquette, your supplication is worthless. And your supplication is, in fact, shirk, associating partners with Allah. And we know that Allah said in the Quran that indeed those that associate partners with Allah, they will end up in the hellfire. So that's the first etiquette. The second one is to realize, like, as we mentioned, that a dua is an ibadah, that supplication is a worship. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, in a narration that Imam Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and others narrated, and Imam Tirmidhi, he said it's Hasan and Sahih, he said it's authentic, Sheikh al-Albani and others authenticated it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that dua is worship. A dua is worship. And then he recited the verse of the Quran, and your Lord said to me, call upon me and I will respond to you. And verily those who scorn my worship, they will surely enter hell in humiliation. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified that supplication is a worship, meaning that if you supplicate to Allah, you'll be rewarded, and that you can't supplicate to anybody else in it. As the verse in the Quran mentioned here, it mentions that it's worship. The second thing to really understand and remember is that a dua, supplication, has a lofty position in the religion. And that's something that we should freely do. If you look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions, the righteous people, the prophets before, they constantly made supplication to Allah. In whatever situation they were in whatever situation they were facing, they always called upon Allah and spoke to Allah. And there are so many supplications that are authentically reported for different situations. when you're putting clothes on, when somebody gets married, when somebody has a child, when you wake up in the night and have a nightmare, when you go to sleep, when you wake up, there are different supplications, there are different things that you can say. And a person really reaches a high level of spirituality is when they're constantly connected to Allah. They're constantly supplicating to Him and constantly calling out to Him. There are different things that we can do that are going to really improve the chances of our supplication to be answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we know from an authentic narration and from the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that supplication can be answered in different ways. You can call upon Allah and ask Him for something, and maybe He'll give it to you, and He'll hurriedly give you that thing, and you'll be given it, and you'll be given whatever you asked for or whatever situation that you wanted. Or maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't give you that thing because He knows that it's not good for you. You know, maybe you asked to get this particular job, or you asked to get this particular acceptance into a certain university. Well, maybe if you got that job, or maybe if you went to that university, it wouldn't be good for you in the long run. Maybe it would have negative consequences upon your life. So Allah doesn't allow that to happen. Similarly, maybe you ask Allah for something and He protects you from a harm greater than what you asked for. And maybe as well, that you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He doesn't grant you any of anything that you ask for. But in the hereafter, on the day of judgment, in the hereafter, you'll have great, great rewards for the supplication that you used to make. Because every time you ask Allah, you get rewarded. And maybe Allah withholds it from you, because in the hereafter, you're going to get the reward instead of getting it in this life. So we always need to remember that when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and maybe we're not getting the answer, or maybe we're not seeing the fruits in our life, that Allah is Al-Hakim, He's the most wise. And there are wisdoms and there are reasons why certain things happen in our life and why we don't get certain things. From our perspective, we don't understand. From our perspective, it looks bad. From our perspective, maybe it's really hard. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has an image of everything. He sees everything. And this is a key answer to that to the problem of evil, which is often raised by non-Muslims, by atheists, by agnostics, by those struggling with their faith. I remember when I was not Muslim, when I was an atheist, there's a key argument we bring up again and again is problem of evil, so much suffering, so much hardship in life. But when you study the Quran, when you learn about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you study the works of the scholars, Ibn al-Qayyim, Imam al-Ghazali, and others, Abdul Razak al-Badr from the modern day scholars, you notice that there are answers to why certain things happen in life, and there are reasons why our supplications don't get answered. So the believer always sees the positive and always understands why. So there are some things that we can do to make our supplications be answered more. One of them is dutifulness to our parents, honoring our parents, spending time with our parents. Because the reality is that when a person becomes a parent of themselves, they realize the reality of what their parents did for them, how much they struggled, how much they would wake up in the night and look after them, how much they would put so much effort into raising their child in order for them to be the best that they can be. So likewise, you can only pay that back with good character, with kindness, with taking care of them when they're old. And there's a famous narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about three that were trapped in a cave, and that they were trapped by a boulder that they couldn't get out. And each of them made a supplication to Allah that helped move the stone that blocked the cave. And one of the people that made a supplication, he mentioned that he used to always give his parents the milk before the rest of his family. And one night whilst they were asleep, he stood waiting by them until they woke before he fed his family. And he said that he only did it for Allah's sake and to honor his parents. So here the person always putting his parents first, always ensuring his parents are taken care of and his parents are happy. Allah answered that dua and moved the boulder a bit. So we learn from this narration that keeping good ties with your family members and your parents helps you in the situation. Imam Muslim rahimahullah and Imam Ahmed, they narrate the following narration and authority of Umar, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Uwais ibn Amir from the Amdad, who's a group of fighters used to help in the battles for the Muslims, from the people of Yemen, he said that he's going to come to you. That's what Umar heard the Prophet say, and that he was afflicted by leprosy, but then became cured, except for a part of his body that is equal to the size of a dirham, which is a type of coin. He has a mother to whom he is dutiful. If he swears by Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make his oath become fulfilled, and he will answer his supplication. Such is always his status with Allah. So if you have to ask him for forgiveness, then do so. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he spoke about a man that was going to come to Yemen to the companions, in which he had leprosy, yet Allah cured his leprosy, except for a small portion, because he was dutiful to his mother, and that if he makes an oath, it would become fulfilled, and that if he made a supplication, then Allah would answer his supplication. So we learn from this narration as well, that this man, because of his dutifulness to his mother, Allah would answer his supplication, Allah would answer his du'as. And again, a fourth etiquette we could highlight, another etiquette, is that it's always good to highlight your good deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you're making the du'a, it's good to mention the good deeds that you did. And this isn't from showing off, because it's between you and Allah. As we learned from the narration that we mentioned of the three people trapped in the cave, they each made tawassul, they each came closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through mentioning some good deeds that they did. One was the dutifulness to his parents. One was his good etiquette with an employee that he had. The other one was that he protected himself from fornication. These good deeds that they did, Allah then answered their dua because of them. But they mentioned it to Allah, oh Allah, because I did this, then help me in this. So that is from the etiquette, and that is fine. Oh Allah, I prayed to Allah. Oh Allah, I did this good act. Oh Allah, I did this secret deed for your sake. Please answer my dua. And this is acceptable, and this is fine. This is something that we should do. From the hadith of Ibn Umar that mentions the three people in the cave. Another beneficial etiquette that we learn from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that it's recommended to face the Qibla, the direction of prayer, to Mecca, the Grand Masjid in Mecca, the Kaaba, when making supplication. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam faced the Kaaba and supplicated against a group of people from the Quraysh. The Prophet faced the Kaaba and he made this dua. Imam Bukhari and Muslim, Imam Nasa'i, Imam Ahmed narrated that hadith. And as well, we learn on the Battle of Badr from the narration of Umar that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam faced the Kaaba, the direction of the Qibla, and made supplication to Allah. And many other narrations, we see again and again that it's recommended to face the Qibla when making dua. So think, you want something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want something to be made easy for you. And etiquette is to call out Allah alone sincerely. Mention your good deeds. Ensure your heart, treat your parents well. Face the Qibla. And another etiquette, which is narrated in many, many narrations, is that I recommend it to raise your hands when making the supplication. And we see this in narrations. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to raise his hands, making dua for rain, making dua generally, and various situations. He used to raise his hands whilst making the supplication. So that's from the etiquette of making the dua as well. Allah said in the Quran, invoke your Lord with humility and in secret. Invoke your Lord with humility and in secret. So many of the scholars, they took from this that it's from an etiquette, it's something that's good to also make supplication to Allah in secret. When nobody's there, when people don't know, Because that would mean that you're truly sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not doing it to show off. You're not doing it for any other agenda. You're sincerely asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the supplication. And I think something that is key, which is mentioned here, to supplicate with an alert and attentive heart leads to a person's supplications being answered. Meaning that a person has to be engaged in the dua. They're not saying Arabic words, they're not saying English words or whatever language they speak for no reason. Rather, their heart is connected in it when they make the supplications to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a narration that Imam At-Tirmidhi rahimahullah narrated and Sheikh Al-Albani authenticated, in his As-Silsilat al-Hadith al-Sahiha, the authenticated narration, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you invoke Allah, you should believe with certainty that your supplication will be answered. And know that Allah does not answer a supplication from a heart that is unattentive and heedless. So you're making that dua, you're sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to get you out of this situation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to help you. And he's going to guide you to that which is correct. And your heart is truly engaged in it. It's not doing it lip service, it's not habit, it's not somewhere you're not engaged. Rather, you're sincerely involved and your heart is sincerely engaged in it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, when you invoke Allah, then be determined in your supplication. And do not let one of you say, if you will, then give me. For indeed, no one can coerce Allah. So when you ask Allah, you shouldn't say, you know, if you can. You should be definite. And you should be firm in your supplication and firm in your asking Allah. When we look at the supplications of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was always firm and he was always sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to help him in that situation. Imam Muslim also narrated the hadith with a different wording. But let them be determined in asking and let him ask for something great such as paradise. But nothing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives is much or great for him. So if you want to ask for something, ask for the highest. Ask, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you ask Allah, ask for al-firdaus, the highest level in paradise. So be determined, be sure, have conviction in what you're asking for. One of the beautiful, beautiful etiquettes that inshallah from this video, from this day, from hearing it, we can all implement is that when we begin our dua, we should start with the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then sending prayers upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Fudala said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard a man supplicate in his prayer without glorifying Allah, without sending prayers upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah said to him, you have rushed your supplication, O worshipper. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard a man pray. The man glorified Allah, praised him, and sent prayers upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, supplicate, you will be answered, ask, and you will be given. In Imam At-Tirmidhi rahimahullah, he narrated the same hadith with this wording, that whilst the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was seated, a man entered and prayed. He said, O Allah, forgive me, have mercy, and have mercy on him. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, you have rushed your supplication, O worshipper. When you pray and then sit, praise Allah with praises he is deserving, and send prayers upon me. Then call upon Allah. Then another man prayed. After that, he praised Allah and sent prayers upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O worshipper, supplicate, you will be answered. Narrated by At-Tirmidhi, Ibn Abi Dawood in his Sunan, and Nasa'i in his Sunan, and Sheikh Al-Albani and Imam At-Tirmidhi, they authenticated the narration. So in this narration, we learn some beautiful etiquettes. So when we start our supplication, we should begin by praising Allah. Alhamdulillah. Maybe khutbat al-haja, maybe alhamdulillah. Just praise Allah in the beginning of the supplication. Then you send peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is an etiquette which we learn from these narrations, that the one who did it, the Prophet said, supplicate and you will be answered and you will be forgiven. And he said, or worship a supplicate and you will be answered. So an etiquette to get our du'as answered is to do that. So inshallah, we can implement that whenever we call upon Allah. We begin by praising Allah, sending peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then asking Allah for what we need. One thing that we need to remember is that when we ask Allah for anything, we can't ask for things that are haram. We can't ask for things that are impermissible. We can't ask for things that are not legislated for us. So we can't ask Allah to make me a prophet. This is something that is not legislated for those after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we shouldn't ask Allah for negative things, for causing issues between people, or to speaking bad about people. This is not from the etiquette of dua. And it's not something that we should do, ask Allah for forbidden things or incorrect things. Another etiquette that is to have is that our livelihood, our wealth, our food, our clothing are all halal, are all Islamically correct. Because there's a narration that the Prophet ﷺ spoke of a man that was on a journey, a traveler who was on a journey, and that when he asked Allah for something, Allah didn't give him it because his food was haram, his drink was haram, and his clothing was haram, and his wealth was haram. So Allah didn't answer his supplication. Despite him being a traveler, which is a time when dua is accepted, despite him being weary and tired and putting effort in, which would mean his dua is more likely to be accepted, it's not accepted because of his livelihood was not correct. And what he was eating and drinking was not correct. So inshallah, we need to try and make our life halal, our clothing halal. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer our du'as. Why would Allah help us when we're openly disobeying him? When we're openly not doing the things that are right? The Prophet ﷺ said, a slave will continue to be answered in his supplications as long as he doesn't invoke for a sin to be carried out or for breaking off ties of the womb, and as long as he does not rush. It was said to him, O Messenger of Allah, and what is rushing? He ﷺ said, the slave says, I supplicated and I supplicated, but I did not see my supplication answered. At the point he becomes weary and forsakes his supplication. Imam Bukhari and Muslim narrated it. So there are three things to take away here from. One is that we shouldn't ask things that are sinful. Secondly, we shouldn't ask to break up family members and ties of kinship. And thirdly, we shouldn't be a person who rushes in our dua. And as the Prophet said, that person says, I asked Allah. And I didn't see my dua being answered, so I stopped asking Allah. That is a person who is hasty or rushful. Rather, a person should continuously ask Allah and always be asking him, even if he doesn't necessarily see what he asked for happen in his life, because it's something that's beneficial and good. Rather, he's being maybe protected from something harmful. Maybe that thing isn't good for him. Maybe in the hereafter, he'll get huge reward. So these are things, good things to do. So we'll rush through some beneficial times that are good to recommend to make dua. You really need something help, you want something answered, you need help in your life. One recommended time is the last third of the night, from the authentic narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which he said that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends in the last third of the night to the nearest heaven. And he says, who is invoking me so that I can answer him? Who will ask me so that I will give him? And who will ask for forgiveness so I can forgive him? Another time, etiquette is in sujood, in prostration. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in Sahih Muslim that the closest a slave is to his Lord occurs when he is prostrating, so supplicate much whilst you are in prostration. So this is another time that's recommended to make dua. Another recommended time is between the adhan and the aqama. If you hear the adhan, if you're in a Muslim country or you're in the masjid, between the adhan and the aqama, it's recommended to make dua. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, between the adhan and the aqama, supplication is not rejected. Imam Tirmidhi, Imam Ahmed, Imam Abu Dawood narrated it, and it's authentic. On the day of Friday, there is an hour on that day in which dua is accepted. And there is some discussion upon when that is. Some say it's between Asr and Maghrib. Some say it's when the Imam sits down in the middle of the khutbah. There's some discussion. But an etiquette is to always make dua on Friday. Another recommended time is when a fasting person breaks his fast. A person who is wronged or oppressed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that indeed the supplication of the one that is oppressed is answered. As well, as we mentioned before, the person who is a traveler, his supplication is answered. As well, one that is interesting is one when it is raining. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, seek to supplicate to Allah when the aqama for prayer is made and when it is raining. So when it is raining is a recommended time. And there are many, many others. When you're sick, when you're fasting, these are all times in which supplications are answered. So brothers and sisters, the key thing to take away, and the key thing is, firstly, to try and implement dua more in our life. Really think about it. How often do you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the day? Is it once a week? Is it constantly on your tongue? Are you asking Allah with the worries that you have? Financial worries, health worries, family worries, job security, worried about the virus? Are you asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you, to protect you? That's the whole point of supplication, is to build that spirituality in your life and to always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that key etiquette is to ask Allah alone. Allah is the one that controls the whole universe. Allah is the one that controls everything. Allah is the one that gave you life and takes life. So only He can truly help you. You shouldn't call out to other than Allah. Don't call out to prophets and messengers. Don't call out to statues and idols and other deities. Don't call out to the dead. Don't call out to the angels, the jinn, anything like this. Only call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, look in some of the different books in the English language, like the Book of Manners here. There's many other books. At times when supplication is answered, and start implementing it when it's raining, when I'm fasting, when I'm traveling, the last third of the night, and between the adhan and the aqama, at the end of your tashahud in the salah, whilst you're in sujood. Try and implement this. And again, try and do good deeds so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more likely to accept your supplication, and stay away from the sins. Because the sins, as we know from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they taint the heart. They put black spots upon the heart that build up. And only through forgiveness, asking Allah to forgive you your sins and the mistakes that you made, will you truly remove that sickness upon your heart. So brothers and sisters, inshallah, you benefited. Jazakallahu khairan for listening. Please do share this video with others, inshallah, so they can benefit. And inshallah, we'll be back next week with another topic, with another reminder. Maybe we'll have a guest on, or maybe we'll start maybe a series about the basics of belief for a new Muslim, for those newly practicing the religion. But once again, Jazakum Allahu Khairun. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Don't you just hate it? Every time you switch on the TV, scroll through Facebook, or read a newspaper, it's Muslims have done this and Muslims have done that. They're barbaric, this religion is dangerous, etc., etc., etc. The saddest thing is that so many people out there believe it. It's people like you and I who need to dismantle these misconceptions by showing how beautiful Islam is. If it wasn't for such amazing dawah organizations out there, many people wouldn't be Muslim today. One such amazing organization is the Islamic Diversity Center. For over 17 years now, they've been building bridges within communities and calling people towards Islam through education, awareness, engagement, and empowerment. Their amazing work has resulted in hundreds of people accepting Islam and thousands more understanding that Islam is not about killing and murder. Rather, it is a peaceful religion full of understanding, harmony, and worship. In order to continue guiding the masses, they urgently need to raise £50,000. That's just 500 people donating £100 each. Now, as Muslims, if we can't sacrifice our time and resources to call people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then at least we should sacrifice a tiny percentage of our wealth, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. Please donate £100 today and earn sadaqah jariyah on your scale of good deeds from now until the end of the Day of Judgment, where your only hope of entering Jannah is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please, lastly, hit the share button. وجزاكم الله خير.